You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Bill Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national, sometimes the international. And yeah, we cover down on all of it, like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Well, let me advance this conversation we've been having for the last little bit here. Number one on the Triple Dipper, I'm calling it parental rights. And I walked you through some of the aspects of the law of the states that we're in, Alabama. That uphold parental rights and loathe to just terminate them involuntarily unless there are certain standards that have been met in the best interest of the child, they call it. And yet, I just also went through a whole series of what I would call cultural attempts to dismantle legal parental rights. And yet, now we also have to deal with things like in the state of California, they are actually passing legislation currently waiting on the signature of the governor that would invade the rights of parents to simply determine what is best for their child on all kinds of liberal issues. Well, listen, I've told you guys before, and it's true, our podcast, after we get off the air every day, we podcast show, one of the states that has been leading, you know, our podcast downloads has been California, because there are indeed conservatives in California. One of them is a friend of mine, Melissa Melendez. We met at a Club for Growth conference several years ago. She is a former California state senator. She's also a Navy veteran, 10 years as a Russian linguist in the Navy. She's also now the president of the Golden State Policy Council, which is a lot like Alabama's Alabama Policy Institute. Enough talking from me. Let me bring on former state senator Melissa Melendez. How you doing?
Oh, I'm great, Phil. Thank you so much for having me on. And I do apologize that California has dominated your conversation.
No, not at all. I don't know if I ever told you, by the way, I lived in California for a bit, and it was a turbulent time of my life, but I lived down in Laguna for part of 7th, 8th grade, I believe. That was a time. Beautiful area, beautiful.
Oh, I was going to say, you picked a great place to live, that's for sure.
I did, but I remember when I was there, I had one of the guys, I moved from Alabama, and one of the guys that I got to be buddies with said, hey man, you got to understand, when you get out here, California has three things, pot, skateboards, and weird people. And I went, okay.
Mm-hmm.
But listen, it's a beautiful state, and you are indeed sort of helping lead the charge for conservative policy advocacy, I know it. But talk to us about what's happening with people like Scott Wiener and others trying to invade parental rights.
Yeah, this was a real banner year for those who want to strip parents of their rights and get in between parents and their children. I'll tell you that. It was, I mean, my goodness, there's a whole list of bills that went through. One of the most disturbing ones, and there are many, I will tell you, is the one that says, you know, if you're going to be a foster parent, which we have a shortage of in California, by the way, but if you want to be a foster parent, then the state has to assess you to make sure that you will affirm a new gender for a foster child that you may take into your care. And if you choose not to affirm that new gender identity, then you're not suitable to be a foster parent. I mean, can you think of anything more ludicrous and frankly harmful to kids who are very much in need of stability, you know, in their lives, not more chaos introduced into their lives, which is what our schools are doing.
Which I guess,
but that is the type, that's the type of legislation that they are pushing through.
Which I guess in that case means that foster parents, who are a godsend to a lot of kids, foster parents who are evangelical Christians may just find themselves excluded on that very basis.
They will absolutely be excluded. That is correct. And you go, you know, further to look at the bill that says, well, if you're in a custody dispute over your children, then the courts must give deference to the parents. And this is in relation to a child deciding to, you know, change their gender identity. If you are the parent who says, I'm all for it, yes, you can become a boy, then the courts have to defer to you as the most appropriate parent for that child, for them to be placed with as far as custody is concerned. Not based on whether you care properly for the child, whether you can financially provide for that child, whether it's a good environment. It's all about, are you going to affirm that child if they decide to change their gender identity? You can literally have your children taken from you because you're not buying into this new ideology that is starting in California and sweeping the nation.
Well, so let me ask you, I served in the Alabama State Senate, and there were times, and granted, we're more of a red state. We have our issues, but I can remember some very viral moments when crowds of people who were opposed to a piece of legislation would show up at the state house, and it would get kind of raucous at times. And then I also remember sometimes when there were some things that parents wanted to have done, one of which was for, mandating that insurance coverage cover autism treatments. And parents showed up in droves at the state house, kind of surprised all of us. And so was there an outpouring from parents in the state who were saying, stop this, don't do it?
Oh, my goodness. There were so many rallies held, so many people showing up to testify. It was incredible. And, of course, we had plenty on the support side as well show up. And luckily, there were no fights that broke out or anything like that. But it certainly got ugly and nasty to the point of, there was a woman here in California. She was in the news. Her name is Abigail Martinez. And her daughter went through this. She was kind of an awkward kid to begin with, didn't have a lot of friends. She got in with a group at school that, convinced her that, you're not really just a tomboy. You really should have been born a boy. And here, let us help you with that. And so she got in with a group like that. Of course, the school was keeping it a secret from her. In fact, the school called about, I think, an absence in a class or something like that. Well, Abigail's daughter had changed her name at school. Of course, she didn't tell her mother that. But at school, she went by a different name. When the school called to ask about, why her child had missed class, they referred to her as this other male name. And Abigail thought, you must have a wrong number.
Yeah.
That's how she discovered what was going on. Well, this young lady, they took her out of the home. They said the mother, it was dangerous for her to be there because the mother wouldn't call her by her new pronouns and all this other stuff.
Oh, my gosh.
She ended up going on these, hormones and going through all this treatment. And, of course, that really just messed up her head, to be perfectly frank about it. And she went through a very difficult time and ended up being so distraught that she walked in front of a train and killed herself. You want to talk about a tragic end to all because, she had been allowed to stay in the home with her mom who could have, a mother loves their child no matter what.
And nurture her through it, yes.
Exactly. Been there for her as opposed to some state bureaucrat who, doesn't care. And that's what happened. And so these policies that they're putting forward in California aren't just absurd sounding to many of us, but, they're dangerous. I mean, they're systematically trying to normalize gender transition, among kids. And in the process, they're transferring the prerogative of guiding these decisions away from parents and putting it on to teachers and other school administrators and bureaucrats. And that's not the way it's supposed to be.
No, it's not the way it's supposed to be at all. And I can't help but believe that there's going to be, you got the Pacific Legal Foundation out there with y'all. You've got Alliance Defending Freedom, other groups around the nation. I can't help but believe that some of these things, if they become law, are going to wind up becoming lawsuits. But let me ask you this. You sent me a list today that helped me greatly to prepare for today's show. But most of them say they're enrolled and presented to the governor. Is he going to sign them? I mean, Gavin Newsom is not known for being a conservative, obviously. But at some point, everybody believes that he may wind up being the heir apparent to the Biden run for presidency. So is he going to sign these things and have that hanging on his career?
Well, I mean, he has signed some pretty crazy bills, I will tell you that. So, he is certainly no stranger to that. I don't know what he's going to sign. Sometimes he shows his hand and other times he does it. But when it comes to things like this, he's usually more inclined to sign it. So I don't really know if he will. I mean, I suppose some of these bills where there may be a cost associated with them because, as you know, California, we had a huge budget surplus last year, and now we're in the red.
Yeah.
My, what changes in just a few short months. So if there's a significant cost associated to any of these bills, then you know, he may veto it, but you're, I mean, he certainly is trying to position himself to be in the White House. And so he's going to do what, you know, his handlers tell him he needs to do in order to win votes. I just can't, I mean, he's not going to win votes signing bills like this in Alabama. No. That's for sure.
No. And notice, by the way, I didn't bother asking how he ideologically feels about it, because I don't think he thinks that way. I think he thinks politically. That's my perception from afar. But, so I guess with a couple or 3 minutes here left, what's next? I mean, you work with the Golden State Policy Council, which is a lot like Alabama's Policy Institute that I used to be affiliated with. And y'all are advocates for conservative policy, and I assume you have a following and that there's an effort being made, and we know there's conservatives out there. What's next for conservative policy in this regard in California?
Well, you know, when it comes to the issues that we were talking about, all of this, you know, the parental rights and transgender issues with kids, it really isn't even a conservative issue. I mean, I can't tell you how many people who were Democrats, who were independents, and who were people who didn't even really bother to vote, you know, came out to these rallies to say, hold on a second, you cannot get between me and my child. It's not right. And so I'm hoping that even though, yes, I am a conservative, that we have, I mean, frankly, the Democrats are doing us a bit of a favor by introducing bills like this, because it really does turn the public against them. Because the one thing I know is you don't ever, ever want to get in the way or between a mother and her child, or a father and his child.
No, that's
you know, that's a line you don't cross.
That's the natural law right there. Yeah, absolutely.
That's right.
Well,
that's right. So
go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, I was just going to say that I think is where we have been able to, you know, expand our base of allies, because, you know, most people with two brain cells to rub together understand that this is crazy and this is harmful, and it's just the state is getting involved in areas that it need not be involved.
Well, and the interesting thing too is, like, when we look at things like climate change and electric vehicle policy and emission standards and whatever else, California is sometimes a bellwether state that other liberal states look to for guidance on how we should do it next. And so my concern is these become law and then they get to roll out to places like Oregon and Washington and New York and others. God bless the kids. I mean, I was a kid in California, like I said, and California was turbulent for me in some ways, but it was also beautiful, and I have some great memories. And there are wonderful people out there, and it's a shining jewel in many ways. And yet, the rest of us look at it and say, are we losing California? And that's the way it feels sometimes. But I know you guys are out there in the fight.
Oh, we are, and, you know, we haven't given up. Those of us who have chosen to stay and fight instead of moving out have no intention of laying down our arms and walking away. So we will continue. It's not easy, but, you know, if it was easy, everybody would do it, right?
There you go. That's right. No
so
easy
we
day.
We will continue to plod along. That's right. No easy day. That
well,
correct.
My friend, I appreciate you. I tell you what, when we hang up here, I want you to hang on the line just 1 second, because all of my listeners, we're Right Side Radio, and my listeners identify as Right Side Ruffians. We're going to send you a Right Side Ruffian T-shirt, all right?
That's awesome.
All right. Well, stay on the line. Boomer's going to get your shirt size and your address. And former state senator, California State Senator Melissa Melendez, president of the Golden State Policy Council, thanks for what you do.
Thank you, Phil. I so appreciate you. Thanks for what you do as well, buddy. I really appreciate you.
All right. Talk again soon. Wow. Yeah, Boomer, get her identifying information so we can get her. We need Right Side Ruffians wearing T-shirts in California, by God. That's what I'm saying. All right, listen, we're taking a break. We're coming right back. We move into the next part of the Triple Dipper, calling it Big Bad Government. What happens when government's so big, but it's also bad? Yeah, it's big bad government. We'll be right back.